I feel like we need to pray this morning before we get started with this message. I do a lot of praying over each message, but especially today. So let's bow. Not just our heads, but also our hearts before the Lord right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, again, I just thank you. You are so incredible. You provide for us in so many ways, Lord, that too often we just take for granted, Lord. And Lord, I just pray more than anything that you open our hearts and minds this morning, Lord. I pray, like on the day of Pentecost, Lord, that Spirit speaks to Spirit this morning, Lord. I know that each one of us are in a different place here today, Lord. Each one of us has different challenges. Each one of us has incredible things that are happening in our lives, Lord. We're all at different places, Lord, and we know that you know exactly where we're at and exactly what we need this day. So, Lord, I just pray that the words that are spoken here through this message, Lord, are not my words, not the words of men. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will just take over, Lord, and that you will speak Spirit to Spirit, Lord, for all who are gathered here this day, Lord. And I pray that the words that are said, Lord, are not empty, Lord. I pray that they're filled with power, Lord, that will impact our lives, that you will be glorified, not just for an hour, not just for this day, not for the week ahead, Lord, but for a lifetime and for eternity with you. Lord, you are an awesome God. Open our eyes. Open our hearts. Help us to see you more clearly, Lord, and to give you the praise that you are worthy of. We thank you in advance for what you'll do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. 2 weeks ago, I was preaching on this idea of the rejection cycle that we can get ourselves into. And I said, you know what? I made you a promise that when we get in that rejection cycle, we've got two things that can happen. We can either reject who, we can accept that rejection that we're receiving, and we can reject in return, or we can try to please people and try to get in that cycle, and it just turns into a downward spin, kind of like a vacuum that sucks us in. But I also said that we have a choice. We can not just believe what people are saying, but we have a choice to believe the truth of what God says and who we are. Because people might say you're slow, or you're not so smart, or you don't have any worth left, or you know all these different things. We can get sucked into that very easily, but that's not who God says we are. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, it talks about the blessings, and it says in a very short passage, it gives us a list of things that God says about who we are as Christians. God says, and I got it. I bet you I've said it. And I'm not exaggerating. I bet you I've said it close to 5,000 or 6,000 times trying to get it into my head. I am blessed. I am chosen. I am holy. I am blameless. I am loved. I am adopted. I am free. I am forgiven. I am accepted. That's who God says I am in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. He says, I am blessed. Say, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am chosen. I am holy. I am blameless. I am loved. I am adopted. I am free, I am forgiven, and I am accepted. Those are the things, and many other things God says about us. Those are the truths that God says about who we are when we are in Christ Jesus. We are blessed. And I got to thinking about that. When I preached the sermon, and I asked you guys to say, do you believe that you're blessed? There was like a little mumbling in our congregation. There really was. It was just a little mumbling. It wasn't like, yes, I know I'm blessed. It was kind of like, yeah, there was a few that said, yeah, I know I'm blessed. And I got to thinking about, do we know that we're blessed? How do we know that we're blessed? And sometimes I think it's escaping us, the understanding of what it means to be blessed. I struggled with this now for 2 weeks. I've been looking all through God's Word on all the ideas of what it means to be blessed. And there's a lot of confusion. You see, it starts off in the Old Testament with Abraham. And God says, I'm going to make you a blessing. He says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing, is what he says to Abraham. He says, I'm going to increase your, you're going to have a family like the stars of the sky. He says, I'm going to make you increase. He says, I'm going to bless you, and then I'm going to make you a blessing to the nations. So this idea of blessing is very confusing. So what's it mean to be blessed? If you look in the Old Testament, take a look in the Old Testament. Let's look at, there's two passages that we can look at. Let's look at both of them. They're both in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7 is kind of the short version of it. And then we'll look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning at verse 13. We'll go back up to verse 12, but it says, Deuteronomy chapter 7, kind of close to the beginning of your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning at verse 12. It says, if you pay attention to these laws. Now here's a stipulation on this idea of blessing, okay? If you pay attention to these laws, and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep this covenant of love with you as he swore to his forefathers. So there's a condition of what's going on. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to love you. I will keep my end of the covenant if you keep your end of the covenant. If you follow all my laws, all my decrees, all the things that I've passed down to you, he says, if you do all these things, then I will do this. So it's you do this, I'll do this type of thing. He goes on and he says, he will love you and bless you. He will increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, your new wine and oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks in the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. You will be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor any of your livestock without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict on them on all who hate you. You must destroy all the people the Lord your God gives over to you. Do not look on them with pity and do not serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. So it looks like God's saying that blessing, as I'm understanding it here, he says, if you keep all the laws, then I'm going to do all these things. If I understand blessing here, is the idea of things are going to go well. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to be wise. Your crops aren't going to fail. Everything's going to be wonderful. Okay? Now, if I'm using that definition of blessing from what's going on right here, it scares me a little bit because I see a lot of illness. I see a lot of pain. I feel like I'm on Romper Room. I don't know where this has come from. But you remember Romper Room? The younger kids have no idea what I'm about to talk about. But he has this little glass. You remember that? And he gets the little glass out and he's going, I see this and I see you. And I always thought he was talking to me. I really thought he could see through the television and he could see me sitting on the other side going, whoa, this is so cool. But I feel like I'm doing that right now because I look through the little lens and I see pain and I see hurt. I see disease. I see people who are suffering. I see people who have great needs in their life, and I think, wow, no wonder people don't feel blessed. If this is the idea that they have a blessing, that I'm only blessed when everything's going good, when my health is good, when my finances are good, when my family's good, when all these things are going great in my life, then I feel blessed. No wonder when I said, you are blessed, you all go, yeah, I'm blessed. You see, we buy into that idea, and there's a health wealth gospel that's out there right now that's preaching that, and I'm not going to preach it to you because I don't believe it's necessarily true. Absolutely, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God is the one who gives and takes away so much in our life, but just because we're in the midst of struggles, just because we're in the midst of pain, just because we're in the midst of a place that we don't want to meet, does not mean that God is not blessing us. It does not mean that, because there is so much more to this world that God is intending for us to experience and have and experience in our lives. There's a thing that's going on that we're missing. You see, God has done it in such a way. He's done it in such a way that the blessing that he wants to pour into your life is not made of things that are going to be destroyed. And all the things that are talked about in this passage right here, all these things are very temporal. Look at it. They only last a little while. But we get so caught up in the idea of these are the things that God has blessed us with. And when we start finding the hardship of life, we start thinking we're losing our blessing, and there could be nothing further from the truth. You see, God has a desire to give us so much more than the material things of this world. I get kind of frustrated because whatever God intends for good, whatever he designed and created for good, Satan has a wonderful way of trying to take it and manipulate it and turn it away around in such a way that we miss the point of what God intended it to be. I look at our country, and I love our country. I love the United States. I love God so much more, and I want to be in his kingdom more than I want to be in this kingdom. Okay, understand that completely and totally. But when this country was created, I really do feel like the men and women who created this country, who founded the country, gave us the principles that this country was supposed to be designed on, were following God's heart. We're following his design. And I really do believe, just kind of like the kingdom of Israel, the nation of Israel, I think God he loved them. He was guiding and directing them. And when they were following God's laws and they were following his principles and when they were trying to honor God with their lives and with their nation, God blessed them in those ways. And I think the same thing happened with our country. I believe our founding fathers really wanted to honor God with this country. okay? I really do. It was based on biblical principles from the very beginning. And I think that God blessed that in the beginning in an incredible way. But what happens is so many times from generation, same thing that happened in Israel time and time and time again, is that we start worshiping the blessing and not the blesser. Okay? We start seeing that the blessings, we think those are more important than the blesser. And we start thriving, we start striving, we start trying to receive the blessing instead of receiving the blesser. Do you see what I'm saying? We start chasing after the good things, and we think that if we have the good things, then we've got the blessing. And so we start working for the blessings. We start working for the good things rather than working for the good one and serving the good one. And we start becoming a servant of the blessings, of the stuff, and not a servant of the one who brings the blessings into our life. Does that make sense? It's happening over and over again, and it just happens in a few generations. You might have parents that are really trying to serve and glorify the Lord, and they're working for the Lord, and they're trying to do everything in their power to bring glory to God. And because of that, God loves to bless his children just like I love to bless my children. When they do good things, I love to take them to the ice cream shop. I love to shower gifts on them. I love to give them praise, and I love to build them up when they're doing the things that I know that I've been teaching them and trying to get into their lives. I love to do that to them, and God loves to do that for us too. But sooner or later, in a generation, we start chasing after the blessing, the stuff, rather than the blesser, our God. And God says that's not where the blessing's at. He says if you chase after the blessings, if you chase after the stuff, it's going to leave you empty. If you chase after the feeling, if you chase after the things, if you chase after the prestige, if you chase after all these things, if that's what you're working for, you may achieve it. You may find it, but it won't fulfill you. It won't fill that space. We're getting so caught up in it. And our country is a living example of that right now. We're chasing after stuff, and we're leaving behind the giver of real blessing. You see, in the New Testament, God's done something really amazing. I got so many passages of scripture I want to give you. He does something really amazing. Take a look with me in Luke chapter 6. You see, God knew this from the very beginning. He knew that if we chased after his law, if we tried to completely fulfill his law, that we were going to fail. Okay? That's why Jesus had to come. Okay? He knew that we were going to fail. He knew that we needed grace more than anything else in our life. He knew that we had a dependence on him that we don't really completely understand. And in Luke chapter 6, it talks about this. It says, Jesus, I just love this whole part. I just love the whole part. But in verse 17, it says he went down with them. He just picked his disciples, okay? He just gathered the 12 together. He named them. He says, you. He got down to the 12. He says, you're going to be my disciples. Come follow me. And he says he went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea and Jerusalem, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Did you hear that? They came to be healed of their diseases. They weren't seeking the giver of the blessing. They were seeking the blessing. They want to be healed. They want to be blessed by having that healing power in their life. And it goes on and says, those troubled by evil spirits were cured. The people all tried to touch him because power was coming out from him and healing them all. And he says, looking at his disciples, you see, Jesus knew exactly what was going on. Jesus understood, even in that moment, that people were seeking the pleasure. They were seeking the result rather than the one who was going to give those results. They came seeking Jesus, but they came seeking Jesus for what they could get from him, okay? Not who he was. And Jesus recognized that. He saw it, and look what he says. He says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. What? Blessed are you who are poor. Isn't the ones who are rich and have all this stuff, aren't those the ones that God is blessing? Wait a second. Listen to what it says. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Wait a minute. Didn't it say in Deuteronomy that we'll have enough wine and enough oil and enough food and our crops won't fail? What does he mean? Blessed are you who are poor. What's going on here? And then he goes on, he says, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. What? Wait a second. What do you mean weep now? He says, you know, my life isn't supposed to have any problems in it. It's not supposed to have any trials. It's not supposed to have any heartache in it right now. If I'm blessed, I should be happy and joyful all the time. Look what it says. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. It says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. And if you didn't get to it, if you didn't really get it, listen to what it keeps on saying. It says, but woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. Now some of you are thinking, oh boy, here he goes. He's going to start bashing on me because I'm making a lot of money. Or he's going to be bashing on me because I'm going to get all the food I need. He's going to be bashing on me. All this. No, it's not talking about food. It's not talking about wealth. It's not talking about all these things. It's talking about a dependence and a seeking of God. You see, seeking God is where all these things come down to. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. You see, we have to recognize our wretched state in order for us to seek God. It's not talking about material wealth. You see, Satan has a way of turning it in our heads to make us think it's something it's not. And God's saying it's not poor in wealth, it's poor in spirit. He says, recognize your total depravity. And when we recognize how wretched and how poor we are in spirit, then we seek those who can make us rich. We will seek God's kingdom, his righteousness, and he will make us rich in spirit. It's the same way as it goes on. It says, blessed are you who hunger now. Again, we want to say, oh, it's all about food. It's not, has nothing to do with food. Has nothing to do with food whatsoever. It doesn't matter if you eat ice cream or steak or if you eat beans and rice. It has nothing to do with food. It's a hunger after righteousness. It has a hunger, the idea of coming and searching God's word. You see, God's word is righteousness. Blessed are you if you are searching for God. If you want him more than life itself. If you desire him more than the food on your table, the clothes on your back, the roof over your head, if you're dependent on him and rather than the things of this world. You see, so many times we're thinking that the things of this world are what's keeping us safe. It's not keeping us safe. Where's your heart? Look what it says. Blessed are you. It keeps turning the page on me. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Man, if you are not weeping now, if you cannot open your eyes and see what is going on around you every single day, if you cannot see the pain in this world, if you cannot see the lostness in the community that you live in the house that you live in, if you cannot see and recognize the hurt that is in people's lives because they don't know, they aren't chasing, they aren't striving, they aren't desiring a relationship with Christ, if you cannot see that they're chasing after things that are going to bring pain and anguish and hurt into their lives eventually, then you don't understand. You know, they said this morning that pray for your pastors because they have a really hard job. My job isn't hard. My job is easy. My job is just to tell people about the love of Jesus. The hard part of my job is seeing the pain and the anguish that people are suffering through right now because they're not really getting it. They're trying to find fulfillment and peace and wholeness in all these different things, and it's right there in front of them. All they have to do is seek. All they have to do is knock. All they have to do is ask, and he will fulfill. He'll bring peace into your life. Oh, sometimes I just want to shake him. It's Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Find him. Seek him. Grab hold of him. Search for him. Hunger for him. Thirst for him. Go for him. Look for him. He's there and he's waiting for you. Amen. He loves you. He wants to bless you. Not with the stuff that's going to distract you. With a peace that transcends all understanding. With a confidence that you can face whatever life tries to throw at you. He wants to bless you with confidence and peace and love and grace and forgiveness. He wants to give you the things of this world that will strengthen you for the days to come. Because right now, we are in the easy part of life. The hard part's coming. You see, later on he says, blessed are you when people insult you and say bad things about you. Now when I want the page to turn, it doesn't turn. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. It's ramping up. Guys, it's ramping up right now. The forces of evil are spinning it faster and faster, because if you hang on to the name of Jesus, if you hang on to the standards that God has set before you, if you say that God's word is true and everything else is a lie, then you are wrong. The world is wanting to say, God's word is true. Man's view is worth nothing. And there's going to come a point in time, and it's coming very quickly, that you are going to have to make a stand on where you feel your blessing is going to come from. Are you ready to take a stand and say, I believe in God's word? Are you going to go along with the world and their standards and their idea of what defining things are in this world? Are you going to go to with man's idea of playing God and saying what is right and what is wrong and receive the blessing of man? The praise of man, the accolades of man, the comfort of man. Are you ready to stand firm in the word of God and saying, call a spade a spade? Truth, truth. God says this is wrong and this is right, and I stand on God's word, and you can do whatever you want to me. Because that decision time is coming rapidly. It's before us now. What blessing do you want in your life? Kids, what blessing do you want in your life at school? Adults, what blessing do you want in your lives at work? Are you going to do what God is saying is right? Or are you going to fall into the pattern of the world? There's a guy named Lazarus, not the one who was raised from the dead. The one who died is in Luke chapter 16, just a few pages away. I want you to read this. Because it's gut check time. It's gut check time for what we're doing, when we're spending our time, where we're spending our resources, what we're doing, what we're chasing after, what we're hungering and thirst for. What is important to you, and where are you placing your priorities? And I say this not just to you, I'm saying it to me. Guys, we've got to look at what's important. You see, the blessing that God wants to bless us with is not necessarily here. Yeah, he takes care of us. He watches over our needs. He's going to protect us no matter what. But it's not for this world that he's protecting us. It's not for this world that he's preparing for us. Did you hear the song that we sang right before I got up here? This world, no, it's the song that we're singing next. I can't remember where it's at, but it's a song that you need to listen to. I think it's the one we're singing next. Listen to what it says. There was a rich man, and this is in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs, someone's smiling about this right now, I'm not going to say it was, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. And the rich man also died and was buried in hell. There he was in torment. He looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him. He said, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed. Are you hearing this? It can't be crossed. It can't be crossed later, guys. There's a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brothers, let him warn them, so they will not also come to this place of torment. And Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets, let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. If only that were true. If only all would repent if someone raised from the dead. He said to them, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they'll not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. You see, the blessings that God wants to share on you, that he wants to lavish on you, is not of this world. Does that mean that the blessings, that the good things of this world are evil? No. If we receive the good things of this world, then we've been given them to, for a reason, to be a blessing to others. Use them in the way that God designed them to be used, not for your own comfort, for your own desires, to build up a bigger kingdom here, but to be a blessing to others, to advance God's kingdom, because the time is short. We need to get serious with what we're doing and what we have and why God's given it to us. Do you realize it's come from God? It's not by your own labor. It's not by your own power. It's not by your own understanding that these things have been granted to you. You know what? Some of those things may have been granted just so you'll find out who's God in your life. It's time to see God. It's time to seek God. Couple random passages I just have to read. Oh my word, there's so many. Take a look at Psalm 32. There's so many. You know what? We're going to look at Psalm 32, but if you have a chance, look in Romans chapter 4. If you don't have a pencil, pick up the recording, get online, listen to these, because you got to look at these passages. Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, 27 through 36. Take a look with me in Psalm 32. Psalm 32, 1 through 11. This idea of blessing has been overwhelming to me for the last 2 weeks. You can ask Nathan and Andrea. Every day I've been coming in and looking at the idea of blessing, and every day I just end with my head on my Bible thinking, oh Lord, how do I explain how rich your blessings are? How do I explain that we need to stop chasing after the things of the world and start chasing after you, and you will take care of all the needs that we have and even more, and you will restore for us and build up for us a reward that will last for eternity, because the things of this world that we're working for are going to be destroyed. The things of heaven, the things of eternity will be the things that will last and will mean something for an incredibly long time. Psalm chapter 32, it says, blessed is he. This is where it's at. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man whose sin the Lord does not count against him and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through all my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped in the summer heat. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Listen to these words. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty water rises, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by the bit and the bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. The idea that this is so incredible, the blessings. Blessed is a man who understands that Jesus died for their sin. Blessed is a man whose transgressions are not counted against him. Blessed is a man who, when they hear the word of God and recognize the path that they're on leads to destruction, or the path that they're on does not lead to the blessing that God designed for them, will repent and go to God and say, I've fallen away. I'm falling away. I need your help. Listen to what it says. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For night and day your hand was heavy upon me. You know what? We can have all the things in the world, but the hand of God can be upon us, and there can be no peace in our lives. There can be no joy in our life until we come to the point where we say that I acknowledge my sin, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I confess my transgressions to the Lord, and he forgives us. I want so desperately for you to wake up today, right now, from the slumber that we're in, and seek God. I want so desperately for when you wake up in the morning, you will say, I am blessed because the weight has been lifted off my life. I know Jesus died for my sin. I know there's a day that is coming that I will receive all these incredible blessings that God has in store for me. I know that it's happening. I know that it's coming. And I want to live for that day. I want to choose to live for Him. That's where you find blessing. That's where real joy comes from. Don't get sucked in. Seek His face. Seek His kingdom. And receive His glory. I am blessed. I am so blessed. And I want you to be blessed too. Look for Him. Find Him. Hang on to Him. And never let go. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just thank You. I thank You for the truth of Your Word. I thank You for the harshness and the hardness and the love that which it was written, Lord. I thank You for the plain black and white that we can look at. I thank You most of all for Your grace. Lord, please wake us up. Please wake us up from the slumber that we fall into. Please help us feel the heaviness of Your hand that's upon us right now. Please help us to take that not as oppression, but as a desire to press us till we pop out, Lord, and we see the truth. Lord, give us a heart to search for You, to want more of You, to know You more fully, to serve You more completely. Lord, help us take our life and just lay it at the foot of Your altar and say, Lord, do with me whatever You please. Take me wherever You want me to go. Lord, help me to be bold in the name of Jesus. Help me to stand fast in the truth of who You are and Your word. Lord, make a difference today. Call us unto Yourself. Lord, we know that we cannot do this on our own. We need You. So we call out to You, Lord, and we pray that You'll make it happen. We need You. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Over the next couple weeks, I'm hoping to look at what it means to be blessed, chosen, holy, blameless, loved, adopted, free, forgiven, and accepted. I think only until we understand how much God wants to bring these things into our lives, how much He wants us to identify with our Lord and Savior, how much He wants us to be the children that He called us to be, only when that really happens will the freedom that we have to live our lives the way He called us to be. We got to stop listening to the lies, believing the truth, and acting on it. Because He's worthy. He's calling. He's yelling. He's saying, come, follow Me. Come follow Me. Let's open our eyes. Let's stand and open our hearts and give Him praise.